Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We roll through this together. Kevin, it's been an awfully rough ride so far for you this week. Rough ride.
It's been pretty smooth to me.
I don't know about that, because normally you thrive on misery. When your teams aren't doing well, that opens up a window of opportunity for you to seize the moment and just go on a search and destroy mission about your team.
No, wait. Last year the Steelers didn't do so well. The Phillies didn't do as well. Yeah, you're right. We haven't done that. Maybe it's this show. It's this show that's doing it. That's what it is.
No.
Because ever since we started doing this show together, my teams have stunk up the joint.
Mm-hmm. And your point is what?
I think you're the blame. And here's the other problem. I can't watch another Steeler game until they lose. Because I only watch like the first quarter of the game on Sunday because I had a wedding. And they won. Now, I've seen every minute of every game before that, and they lost. So maybe that's the reason the Steelers were on a losing skid. Now, until they lose again, I can't watch another Steeler game.
Boy, a winning streak almost be worth it.
All right. I mean, I know it sounds like a Bud Light commercial, but it's, you know, if you believe it, it's true.
I don't even know where to go with this. I mean, I sit here and I listen to this. I mean, do you think I sit like in certain positions or whatever? I just like sit and just go.
Yeah, but you're not a fan anymore. You're not a fan anymore the same way. So you can't judge because it's different for you. There are certain things that you have to do before a game. Now, I have not had my terrible towel all year. Maybe that's the issue. But then they won last week, so that can't be it. Now, I wore the white jersey when they were wearing the black jersey, and I thought maybe that was it. This football is scientific now. It's not just go out there and watch your team. You've got to be prepared.
You believe all this stuff?
Well, I haven't been wrong yet.
Are you heavily medicated? All right, time now for Inside Penn State Athletics. Today, a talk with Christian Hackenberg, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
The big cat, yes, indeed. The big cat is back.
Great to have you with us. Buehner in the house.
Steve.
Welcome, Bob. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, sir.
Kevin, I'm trying to think if anything's happened in the last 24 hours to get your game back on track.
Get my game back on track?
Yeah. WMC.
Oh, you know, I should have thought that the music, Bob, that I should have played coming back was probably something along the lines of this for the Jones residents.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It is the bye week, you know.
It is perfect. He'll be out there stringing bulbs, putting Santa out on the front porch for the neighbors to see.
Well, it beats what Kevin does when he's in a bad mood, and that's putting Santa out to dry.
Yeah.
Today we have one segment that I think you'll really enjoy, Kevin. That's Bill Friedman, the executive producer of the Big Ten Network's Journey.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight, John Urschel is featured at 7.
when Taylor Lewan's also featured from Michigan. Then there's the segment that sends you into massive depression.
Not my favorite segment of the program.
Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. We're going to talk about money.
I mean, Tony's a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. It's not my favorite segment of the program.
I think he's one of the signature guests we have on this show.
Knows his stuff.
And we're going to talk about corporate seats. We're going to talk about extra packages for Thursday night football. All these things that you hate, which then...
I just want to talk football.
Then get you back into your wheelhouse of WMC. And for the uninitiated, that's wine, moan, and complain.
I just want to talk football, sports. Well,
there's the wine. There's the wine. Hey, Bob.
I don't want to talk about how we get there.
Oh, come on. You know, let's face it. You know what we need? We have one spot open that's a Wednesday sponsor. Okay? Is there anybody out there that sells cheese that would like to be a part of this? That way we can get a cheese sponsor to go with Kevin's wine.
That was pretty good. I got to give you credit there. That was pretty good.
We'll get the sales staff right on that.
I mean, do I have to do all the thinking?
Oh, boy.
Hey, as far as I'm concerned, right, the Kevin Herr rant of the day should be sponsored by somebody who sells cheese. Well, because some people call it the wine of the day.
No, it's just what's under my skin. That's what that's what it should be called. What gets under my skin that day?
Let's just
what's under your skin. What's under your skin today?
I'll make it a surprise.
At some point, we're going to find out.
All right, now I want a couple quick points.
Okay.
The 18-19 football schedules were put out for Penn State from the Big Ten.
The 2018-2019 schedules.
Will you just hold on?
Do you have
will
this?
You hold.
No,
will
no,
you
no,
hold
no.
On?
No, you abuse me about talking about the playoffs in week 4 and 5, and you want to talk about the schedule in 2030.
No, I'm not done yet. Allow me to finish the thought.
Okay.
Okay. Which includes Maryland being the last game in 18 and Rutgers being the last game in 19. So it becomes obvious now what they're going to do is they're going to rotate between Michigan State, Maryland, and Rutgers as to who the last game of the season is going to be. There won't be a steady rival in that spot. But a Big Ten website accidentally put out an indicator on the 20 schedule, and it had LSU on Penn State's schedule. And everybody's been, like, buzzing about that at a neutral site. And Penn State even had to make a statement about, well, you know, we've talked to a bunch of people. They are one of them and so on and so forth. It's not official. But in other words, that's been a big buzz today about that 2020 LSU thing being on there. Jeez, I'm sorry, Kevin. Let's go back to your ridiculous thing going on and on about what?
Come on, again? 2020. I mean, but see, this is the problem with scheduling that far out. I mean, LSU could go into a complete tailspin. They could lose their coach, dismantle the program.
It's not official, okay?
Well, but it goes with anybody, though. That's the only problem I have with working. I understand the semantics of it. I understand how you have to do it to get the games you need to get. I just, 8 years down the road, 7 years down the road, I'm having trouble with tomorrow. You know, 8 and 7 years down the road, you could put on a team that's really good now and in a disastrous tailspin by the time you play them. And what good does it do you?
Have you noticed, Bob, that when Kevin gets worked up, his voice gets higher?
He is working in the soprano range right now.
I mean, really?
That's actually the natural level of my voice.
But I think Kevin does make a great point. You know, you could have USC on the schedule 8 years
yeah,
ago.
Exactly. Oh,
and
I know that.
We all know that. And then, gee, they're not doing all that well here in the 2012-13 area.
Well, that's what happened with the Syracuse part of that. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Syracuse was on in back-to-back years. I think I want to say
7 and 8, 8 and 9. I mean, it was 8 and 9. It was 8 and 9. They had Syracuse on, and it was like, it turned out it was not. It was in the prime non-conference spot, the
right
one that Alabama and Notre Dame had been on, and so forth. Well, when they made, when they scheduled them, Paul Pasqualoni was the coach, and they were winning 10 games a year. Well, you know, suddenly when they finally went to play him, he was no longer the head coach, and they weren't winning 10 games a year. So it ended up being, it gave Penn State literally no help on the non-conference schedule. It was just another game, another easy day at the office. So, you know, I mean, that's where Kevin's point is spot on. Most of the time, these things do work. I mean, when you get Notre Dame on, you know, it worked. When they got Alabama on, it worked. When you got, you know, so these things for the most part do work. I mean, usually, I mean, especially when you are scheduling power teams from power conferences. There's a reason why they're power teams from power conferences. They're usually still up there when they get around to playing you.
I mean, I don't think there's any problem playing an SEC school. I mean, I think that gets a little anticipation because of the power of the SEC right now. But
this is this is 7 years away. And by the way, the game is not scheduled. It just turned out it slipped out on a website, and it was one of the Big Ten websites. They pulled it down. I mean, they pulled it down to the point where I think Penn State even had to make a statement about it.
Wouldn't it be great to get LSU up here and say, oh, November the 27th or thereabouts?
You know what, Bob?
Do they play north of Mason-Dixon?
Okay. 1981, Penn State at Alabama on November 14th. And I remember seeing that on the schedule thinking, they're going to come here and they're going to freeze to death. All right?
Right.
And it turned out it was 75 degrees.
Ouch.
It was like Bear Bryant came in and brought his weather with him.
I believe he had that kind of power.
Yes, he did.
But remember, any non-conference game like that you're talking about will always be a September game.
I know.
The last 9 games on the schedule are all going to be Big Ten games.
Is it Florida that you always tell me that doesn't play north of the Mason-Dixon?
Haven't played north of the Mason-Dixon line since 1965. In fact, I when I was down there to do an NIT game, they have a map of the United States up, and it cut off at Maryland. I mean, so
they don't even recognize the northern states.
Yeah, you know, and then referred to us as them.
Yeah. As in, we don't play them.
You thought for a minute it was a Civil War map and realized, oh, wait, those are all the states.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about, I mean, Florida will not do it. Georgia won't do it, okay? Unless it is Notre Dame, Tennessee won't do it. Alabama, of course, is always, whether it was Bear Bryant, Ray Perkins, Gene Stallings, Nick Saban, they'll go anywhere, anytime. Whatever. Texas has come up here. They're not SEC, but Texas has come up here. Ole Miss talked about it, backed out. Auburn at a home and away, backed out. Penn State played 2 games at Tennessee, oddly never returned here. Interesting.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2010 Ford Escape XLT, one of the most affordable fuel-efficient SUVs, just $15,995. A one-owner, newly inspected and fully serviced 2012 Ford Focus SEL, $13,998. 2010 Dodge Nitro SE comes with warranty. Lowest price promise, $17,989. 2011 Ford F-150 XLT, an outdoorsman and contractor's choice, just $29,494. And a 2012 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter new tires, just $14,993. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, it's 11 at 15. Hummel's Wharf, 14s are on the lots. And they are spectacular. Now, this will be this segment will be one that, well, Bob enjoys every segment. Bob's ability to roll with the punches is impressive. But, Kevin, you'll enjoy this.
Okay.
We're going to talk with Bill Friedman, the executive producer of The Journey. But the next half hour is the one that puts you into the tank. And that is the one where we talk about the business side of sports.
There shouldn't be business side. It should just be sports.
I think Bob speaks for all of us without uttering a word.
Just saying.
All right. Yeah. How do you think it works, Kevin? How do you think you get the players? How do you think... we'll get to that a little bit
later.
That's
for another day.
That's a little bit there. Let's bring in Bill Friedman, the executive producer of Big Ten Network's The Journey. Bill and I go back many years. Bill, it's great to have you back on the show.
Steve, a pleasure. How you been, my friend?
I'm doing very well, thanks. You have to craft stories, and obviously the Urschel story is one I'm sure that was when the round table sat down and said, okay, let's brainstorm some stories. I'm sure that came to the front right away. How did you guys want to approach him as football player and personality?
Well, I mean, you're right. He was someone that, you know, even basically I start thinking about, well, I think about the football journey all year long, but I really start intensifying that once basketball season's over and I start looking ahead. And it was clear to us that, you know, John is a character that is worth profiling. And so even as far back as I think late April of last year, we went out and shot some footage of him in the classroom just so that we'd have it and just, you know, kind of get a sense of him a little bit and build that relationship. And then, you know, we were fortunate that he was both attended the kickoff luncheon and was actually asked to be the speaker amongst the student athletes. We were able to capture that as well here in Chicago in late July. And we went back out again in October because we wanted to get the more recent footage of him teaching because it was a different class. So we just, you know, it's not all about John is good at math. It's about the balance. You know, there's a lot of football in it. There's a lot about John's motivation for staying at Penn State, you know, when he had some opportunities to leave. And I think it's just showing, you know, kind of what's good about college athletics. You know, we live in an age where a lot of people like to focus on what's not right, or at least in their mind, what's not right. And I think it's really nice when you have a story like this. And we're just blessed in the Big Ten, Steve. I was talking about this with someone else. You think of some of the great kids we've had over the last couple of years. As you take a Kirk Cousins, you take an Aaron Kraft, you take a John Urschel. I mean, these people are the total package. And it's a joy for us to get to tell their stories.
Yeah, and that's something I have found intriguing because, for example, you sit down with an Aaron Kraft. I remember talking to John Diebler.
Sure.
For goodness sakes, Diebler was another great kid, basketball player, sharpshooter from the outside from Ohio State. Cousins gave a speech that is always going to be the one that everyone measures their speech to. Was it as good as the Kirk Cousins speech? And that tells you a lot about what The Journey does is it reminds everybody how well-rounded student athletes can be.
Well, that's what we try to do. We just want, you know, a lot of people, they look at John Urschel and he's just number 64. You know, he wears a helmet and pads on Saturdays. And you could say that about anybody in the Big Ten, but it's really important to understand the backstories to these people, how they got to where they are and what's interesting about them. And that's really what our show aims to do. You know, we want you by the time you're watching our game highlight in the 30-minute show to have a vested interest in the people that we've profiled. And honestly, the best compliment I get, Steve, about our show is when someone says, man, I'm a Michigan fan, but you made me like that guy from Michigan State.
Yeah. And
that's the best compliment I can get.
No question, because now you get a chance to really know all that. You did one last year on Marquise Gray that I thought was fascinating. I mean, because I tuned in to see the Maudie segment, and then I watched the Marquise Gray segment, and I sat back and go, wow, you know, things that you don't know about them away from the field.
Well, that's what we try to do, Steve. We want people to really have an appreciation for who these people are. And, you know, I'm blessed that I have a wonderful team of storytellers here, people that really care and aren't just kind of like, okay, well, let's go talk to the quarterback on this team and the running back on this team. You know, we pride ourselves on digging deep. And, you know, when we look at the roster of every team, we look at everybody, player, coach, trainer, announcer, everybody as a possible story. And we try to find the ones that are best. And we only have a limited number of spots. You know, we do three stories a show. We have 10 episodes. So I got 30 slots. and, you know, I could probably fill 60. But, you know, we try to pick the best 30.
Yeah, that's it's amazing. You mentioned Don Fisher, actually. You mentioned, because you will go across the board, Don Fisher of Indiana, you featured on one of them a couple
absolutely.
Years ago.
Absolutely. We did, yeah. You know, we've done assistant coaches like Kevin Kuick.
Yeah.
We've done,
Michigan, you know, Michigan's basketball assistant. I think was one.
Bakari Alexander.
Yeah, Bakari Alexander.
So there are lots of interesting people, and you know, with each year that we continue to do the show, you know, we're blessed with continuing to learn more about these programs, and that's how we find out about some of these stories is just who they are. I mean, I saw the Training Days show this year that ESPN did with Penn State. It was an excellent show, and you know, the stuff they did with Spider was fantastic. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's right in our wheelhouse.
Something though that is also important to John Urschel, and this is as somebody who's talked to him about this, it's great that he is known as a math genius. It is great that he is known as someone who teaches a class at Penn State with the degrees. He's very proud of that, as are his parents. But he also wants to be known as a really good football player. I mean, does that come out in this piece?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, you see him manning his classroom as the teacher, and you also see him in his classroom in the film room with his teacher, Coach McCorder. So, you know, you really see both sides of it, both when he's the disseminator of knowledge and the you know, the consumer of knowledge. You definitely see that, and certainly in our game highlights, you know, what we always try to do, Steve, is pay off our characters that we've established in the show. And, you know, with us featuring on John and on Taylor Lewan, you know, it's a really fascinating storyline that plays out over the course of the memorable game last Saturday.
And Taylor Lewan, I mean, for him, obviously, Saturday ended up being an incredible disappointment, not just in the loss, but, I mean, the last thing that he needs in his life is to get an injury at this point, because he has built himself to a point where you and I both know that a lot of NFL teams are very interested in him. What's the story on him going to this to give us a little tease for tonight?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that you kind of took my thunder there, but you know, I mean, a lot of it is why Taylor decided to come back.
Yeah.
You know, here was a guy that last year, you know, he redshirted as a freshman, so you know, he'd done 4 years on campus. I believe he'd already had his degree, you know, so he could have had a very good excuse to say, I'm going to take the paycheck and go play on Sundays. But, you know, I think he's a big believer in Michigan and all that their football program represents, the tradition, especially the great tradition of you know, recruiting and developing outstanding offensive linemen. You know, he even references Jake Long and John Jansen in our feature. And I think that's really comes across as here's a kid that's, you know, this matters to him. Big Ten football matters to Taylor Lewan, and that's what will come across, and you'll see it both in the features we do and also in his experience that our cameras were able to capture last Saturday.
The other part, here's the next part of this. You actually, there's a lot of stuff that ends up on the cutting room floor. How tough are some of those decisions? Because I sense that you've picked people with a reason to put them on because they are fascinating. How tough are those decisions as to what makes the cut and what doesn't, because it's not a full half hour on one individual?
Absolutely, Steve. As I always say, it's the best problem that I have. You know, as a producer, I don't think you ever want to be in a position where you're like, well, I have 20 minutes of content and I need to get to 25. That's when you have a real problem. The good problem to have is when you have 35 minutes of content and you need to get to 25, because you're whittling it down to the best of the best. And I think those are hard decisions, and we make them as a group. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I make the final decision, but you know, I always want to have the input and consensus of my team, because I believe in their insight. You know, they're the ones out there telling the story and living the piece. And so I feel that we should always discuss it as a group. And I feel that we usually make very sound and, you know, good decisions to put the best content on there. You know, in this day and age, part of it is it's okay if you have too much content, because there's so many other platforms that we can put them out on. You know, just today I put out on Twitter a neat little minute-and-a-half clip from John Urschel's interview that didn't make our piece about how he was outsmarting his parents at a very young age.
Yes, I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty funny clip, and I think people, you know, that's the kind of thing. Like, it's a very entertaining 90 seconds. It kind of doesn't fit the narrative that we're trying to fit into the show, and certainly would have been a hard fit from a time perspective. But that doesn't mean people can't consume it. And so, you know, we try to put some bonus content out there every week. And, you know, the other thing people forget is, you know, we gather this material. I mean, you know, look, there's a pretty decent chance we might go back and be there for Senior Day with John Urschel. And some of the things that maybe we didn't put in this episode could make an appearance later in the year.
Right, exactly right. It certainly could make the cut later in the year. Now, you mentioned Luan. Are those the only two you're going to feature in this one? Or is there
one more person in this show, and that's Michigan State's Shalit Calhoun.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, I've kind of informally branded this episode as our In the Trenches episode. You know, we have three linemen, you know, two offensive, one defensive. But, you know, just because, you know, I think it's good that you don't always do the quarterback or the running back or the head coach. You know, I think you want to mix. And, you know, linemen are important parts of the football team, sometimes the most important part. And I think it's really neat that they get a spotlight on our show.
And it certainly does that. And now for the shooting part of it, it's one thing, for example, pick out an Allen Robinson. He's out in the open. To shoot him is a relatively easy thing. You pick linemen in this one. Give me the skill of your camera people to pick up in traffic guys like this that you can feature.
Well, let me tell you, I'm always amazed. My biggest worry every week is that the cameramen we send out are going to miss a lot of the key plays because it's hard. You know, I just 2 weeks ago, I was down working with one of the cameramen at the Ohio State-Northwestern game, and it was third down, and Northwestern had failed to convert the third down. They were going to punt, and I started walking towards midfield because I wanted to be in position for when Ohio State got the ball, and they blocked the punt. You know, so, I mean, these things happen. If we all knew where the action was going to go, we'd all be great cameramen. So, look, I'm blessed with some – we're really blessed to work with some great cameramen. And the three guys that were out there last Saturday, Kevin Shaw and Sean Healy and Pat O'Donnell, they did a great job. There's some really impressive images. Obviously, shooting at a whiteout is a treat. You know, what's that, the first whiteout they've had in, what, 2 years maybe?
Yeah.
You know, and it's such a unique background to see the footage. But to answer your question, I'm giving a long-winded answer here, is, you know, we have to use and pick our equipment wisely. We need the right lenses to get in there. We need to understand where the right spot is to get the lineman. And I think you see it. We have a lot of great kind of in-the-trenches shots from this game that really show the physicality that only can be captured that way.
When this first began, it was really what Illinois football was the focus 1 year, Minnesota basketball was the focus in the opening year. And then, of course, somebody said, hey, look, we need to get everybody involved in this. But basketball was the trailblazer for this. When did it finally come about that football needed that component? And I'm sure it wasn't much of an argument, but, I mean, what took the football component longer to come together as opposed to having basketball immediately on the docket for the journey?
Well, I think, you know, that's a great question, Steve. I'm not sure I know the exact answer. I think the way to look at it is basketball was kind of our trial balloon with this. You know, it's obviously a huge sport. It's a really big sport for BTN. You know, we have usually over 100 games each year. So there's a lot of programming on our end around basketball. And we wanted to see if it could succeed. You know, when we went out to do the first series, the 2010 basketball season, we didn't know if this show was going to work. We didn't know if we could, you know, we kind of went into it like hoping we could pull it off and hoping that people would watch it. And we were, you know, within 2 to 3 weeks, we had some great feedback on this is really working. And so I think it took us a year or two to really fine-tune the show and get it, show the schools like this is working and you can believe in us and you can trust in us. And I think to have the support of the basketball coaches and the basketball SIDs to tell the football coaches and SIDs, look, this is a really good thing. It's produced by really hardworking and talented people. That was kind of, you know, one kind of helped start the other. And, I mean, look, obviously football is is the highest profile sport
sure.
in college sports. I don't think that's an argument, you know, and that's no offense to basketball or volleyball mm-hmm. or hockey or any of the others. But that's just the reality of it from an interest and a viewership standpoint. The numbers play that out. And so for us not to take what we consider to be one of our signature shows and signature brands and put it into football, you know, eventually that just wasn't going to work. We needed to do it for our end, and I think it's helped, you know, the programs. You know, we look at it as it's an opportunity to shine a light on some of the great things about each of the 12 football programs in our conference.
One of the signature moments for NFL Films way back was when they mic'd Hank Stram doing Super Bowl IV.
Matriculate the ball down the field.
Exactly. Yet what people don't realize in hearing the Sables tell the story is that he absolutely resisted and did not want to do it because at this point it was a foreign concept. Mm-hmm. And they said, look, in the end, trust us. And he said, all right. And, of course, you and I both know it ended up being television gold. For you, the trust factor had – the performance of the show, has that broken down all the barriers now as to you putting together shows now that you're deep enough into the series?
Well, I think, you know, I look at each week as an extension of our ability to be able to show this. And, you know, each week we just put another brick, if you will, on that pile.
Right.
And I think that's what we're trying to do. And, you know, this year we were able to, I don't know if you saw our first episode, but we had Coach Hazel mic'd.
Yeah.
From Purdue during the Purdue-Wisconsin game. And, you know, that wasn't an easy game for him.
No.
You know, they got beat pretty badly that day. And I think it shows that these coaches are starting to see that they can trust us and that this is a good thing. And I think, you know, even though, I mean, I give Coach Hazel a ton of credit, you know, they lost 41-10 and, you know, we were still in their locker room after the game and you could hear him addressing his team. And I think from a Purdue football fan's perspective, if I'm a fan of that team, man, that's really neat to hear. And it's refreshing for me. And it's reassuring for me to see that my coach cares to, you know, the degree that Coach Hazel does. And you can see it in the conviction in his voice. And so I thought that was a really good step for us. And I think, you know, the more that the rest of the conference sees what we do with other schools, I think it will continue to generate interest. I know that's worked on the basketball side of things, and it's working on the football side of things. And eventually, you know, trust wasn't built in a day. You know, you have to earn it. Nobody flips a light switch and says, we trust you. And so we know that, and we work our tails off to make sure that we – continue to build that trust with all the schools, both in football and in basketball. We don't take it for granted.
Right. Also, what's interesting, too, is that this is done without a net. And the reason that's why, and follow me on this, sometimes a net can be, I have a narrator, okay? And the narrator can fill the gaps. It's the individuals and those around them that tell the story almost as your narrator. Give me the difficulty of trying to put it together in a coherent way where it becomes that narrative of a story for you.
Well, that's a great point you make, Steve, and that's something that that's been a conscious decision we've made since the start. We don't want a narrator.
Right.
And that's nothing against narrators. There are many things in which we do want a narrator. We felt that this show should be told through the people. We want it to feel as cinema verite as possible. And so what does that mean? It means that we have to be really smart about how we interview, how we formulate our questions. Sometimes you might have to ask a question, you know, and many times you ask a question you already know the answer to, but you're asking that because you know you're going to need them to kind of fill in some of the narrative. And, you know, it also makes us use people like you and your voice and your description of games. You know, you help fill in some of the story through taking radio calls or announcer calls from television broadcasts. And, you know, it adds a layer of challenge, but I think it's one that our team is obviously up to and then one that we embrace and one that we reap the benefits of, because I think when you see our show, it is a documentary and it is real. And we're not making kind of any editorial input into it because we're not saying anything. We're letting the people that we profile tell the story. And that's storytelling in its purest form.
7 o'clock tonight, Eastern time on BTN. Bill, it's always an absolute pleasure talking about what has become, for a lot of people, must-see TV.
We appreciate it, Steve, and we hope to see you again out in State College, and I can't wait to talk a little hoops with you once the hardwood season starts. That
sounds great. Thank you, Bill. Bill Friedman, executive producer of The Journey on Big Ten Network. John Urschel's feature and obviously the subsequent footage of the Michigan game tonight at 7 on BTN. And Kevin, that's 7 o'clock on your watch.
Yeah, it was at 4 o'clock on the coast.
You know, Steve, John Urschel in 3 years got enough credits to graduate and with a perfect 4.0, and that means A's in every course, and he was taking some of the most challenging mathematic courses that Penn State offers. He already has one master's degree while teaching and working on a second one. Is that nothing short of amazing?
Well, as Jack and I once said in the broadcast, I think it was a year ago, you know, John Urschel's never had a B in his life. And I looked at Jack and I said, what a coincidence. Neither have we. We'll come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.